Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. Columnist for the Winston-Salem Journal. He is John Dale, and John, as always, I appreciate you coming on, sir.
L.A., how you doing today?
Good, and happy after the Father's Day to you.
Yeah, it's back to the routine, I guess.
Yeah, right. You know, I had a good one, and I'm sure your kids took care of you, too. Before we get to the winner on the U.S. Open, I want to talk about Phil Mickelson and his sort of antics. He's been widely criticized for sort of treating this major like a putt-putt game where he took the double bogey. What's your thoughts on that? Was he trying to make a point? Because a lot of players were complaining about the golf tournament there and where they were playing and being difficult. Was he making a stance or taking a stance to show out of frustration or just frustrated?
He was absolutely telling the USGA where they could go on their course setup. He had hit a little putt that it was cruising past the hole, and he didn't want to go back down to the fairway and hit it again. So he decided to hit it while it was rolling. He knew exactly what he was doing, but in, you know, as far as Phil's concerned, that was his statement to the USGA that they went overboard on the course setup. And so that's what happened. He took his two-stroke penalty and ended up with a 10 and moved on. Now, golf media and everyone, they couldn't believe it because they'd never seen something like that coming from a Hall of Fame player such as Phil Mickelson. So went out and followed him on Sunday to see if any of the fans really cared, and quite honestly, they didn't. They were rooting for him just as hard as if he was in contention. So I think it'll be a blip on the radar because it's Phil Mickelson, and he just decided to do something like that to kind of tell the USGA where they can go, so to speak.
If that was Tiger, would Tiger be booed, you think, if it was the same sort of scenario?
I don't know. I don't think so if it was Tiger, just because, you know, we've seen him be frustrated before, too. He just would have probably... My guess is Tiger would have took that putt and just kind of hit it as hard as he could back at, you know. So I don't know that it would – I think it would have had the same reaction. But, you know, the thing is, you know, Phil Mickelson's kind of that – the guy that's been – him and Tiger have kind of been carrying this sport for a while. You know, mostly Tiger, quite honestly. So I don't know it would have been the same reaction. I just think that it's one of those things where – you know, we'll move on and we'll think more about, you know, in a few years about how dominating Brooks Koepka was on that final round and how he repeated as U.S. Open champion, which is hard to do because it hadn't been done since the late 80s.
Talking with John Dale, of course, from the Winston-Salem Journal. A few more minutes, John. You talked about him winning back-to-back U.S. Open titles, how difficult that is, and You know, Fleetwood, if I'm not mistaken, try to make a late run as well. The other part of this is you got four of the top five people to finish, including the winner, being Americans. Does that say anything as well?
Well, I think this is like four or five in a row U.S. Open winners that are American. I mean, I think that, you know, the tide has turned a little bit, American golf between the international, although most of those guys live in Florida, so I don't know how we can, you know, really call them international players. But I just think that, you know, the Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, they've won the last three. You know, you see how powerfully built these guys are and how athletic they are. Talk to Curtis Strange, ironically, on Friday before Brooks had won. We didn't even talk about Brooks, you know, being the repeat champion because we didn't think he, you know, would do it, and he ended up doing it anyway. These guys are so athletic, and they have the touch around the greens that you're kind of seeing, you know, Tiger was as athletic as they come. That you're starting to see these guys. These are the guys that are going to win the U.S. Open because 7,400 yards and par 70. I mean, you got to hit it a long way, and you got to be athletic. And I think Brooks and Dustin are kind of the poster child right now for hitting it a long way and, you know, being able to putt and chip, you know, just the way Tiger was. So, I mean, Tiger kind of set the bar really high for athleticism and golf, and these guys are just, you know, they're bigger than Tiger, and they hit the ball further than Tiger. And so I think you're going to see that, you know, trend continue, especially in the U.S. Open where, you know, you really got to hit it a long way.
You know, you look at some of the people who didn't make the cut early, Tiger, Rory McIlroy, some others. Were you surprised? Was there anyone in that group that you were surprised that didn't make the cut that at least got to the weekend?
Well, Jordan Spieth almost made the cut, but he missed the last putt, I think, on his final hole on Friday. That didn't surprise me because he's been struggling, but, you know, Rory kind of did surprise. I thought maybe he would get in the mix because, you know, the fairways were a little wider, and he hits the ball a mile too. I really thought that he would be up there, and, you know, he didn't make the cut, so that was a surprise. Tiger had been playing well, so we kind of thought that, you know, maybe he was on to something, but he just got too far behind the eight ball on Thursday and couldn't catch up. He birdied his last two holes, I believe, and just couldn't get in. But, you know, I think those are the two guys that really surprised. Sergio Garcia didn't make the cut. Bubba Watson didn't make the cut. So there were some guys that sometimes you go to these these U.S. Opens and the wind's blowing and, the course is hard and you get into it, some bad swing thoughts, and the next thing you know, you're home by Saturday. And it's, you know, these majors aren't easy. They treat it, you know, the USGA especially likes to trick these guys a lot. And if you're not, don't have any good mojo, then you can go home early. And those guys definitely were home early. Although Tiger got to go home in his yacht, since he had his yacht up there up here on Long Island. I'm still up here actually, but he had his yacht anchored, so he got to live in his $20 million yacht while he played, which is kind of cool.
You know, interestingly enough, someone did ask about your personal opinion of what Phil Mickelson did, what you thought was that classless or just something, you know, just kind of bumping the road and keeping moving. Your personal thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people have been frustrated in golf and probably wanted to hit the ball as it was rolling. I actually kidded a guy and said, oh, wait, you're not supposed to do that? So I don't think it's going to hurt his legacy. I think it's something that, you know, we'll talk about and we'll write about for a while. But, I mean, you know, like I said earlier, I don't think it's going to hurt his legacy. I think it's just something that he wanted to prove to the USGA without saying it. And so he did it with an action. I mean, you know, I kind of equated, you know, John Daly back in 99 at the U.S. Open, he putted the ball up a slope and it came back down. And then he decided as he was walking back up just to hit the ball because he that's how mad he was. And we don't really remember that, although some of us do, but we remember more of Payne Stewart winning at Pioneers number two, you know, that classic finish when he beat Phil Mickelson, the same guy, how many years later. With that putt on 18. I mean, I think that's what we remember the most. Are we going to remember, you know, Phil Mickelson hitting the ball while it's rolling in 5-10 years? Maybe. But we'll probably, you know, think more of Brooks Koepka and the way he did it you know, to win two in a row.
And a final question, two-parter. You know, what can Koepka do well in the Open Championships, and who would you say are the favorites going into that in Scotland?
Well, I think you're going to see the same guys up there. You know, the ones that are always the constants in the Open. I mean, you know, you don't have to hit it as far, you know, over there as you do at the U.S. Open. So length won't be that much of a factor. But the thing with Brooks is, you know, he's won three tournaments in his career. He's only 28, by the way, but he's won three tournaments in his career, and two of them have been U.S. Open. So I think Brooks needs to kind of win at some other places and kind of get his, you know, his ratio up there, his, you know, his stock, whatever you want to call it, because he's still kind of unknown. People didn't really even talk about the repeat. And next thing you know, he's in the mix on Sunday, and people kind of forgot that he was even in the tournament. So I think he needs to win a few more tournaments to kind of maybe, you know, get more of a presence on tour. But, you know, as far as the British Open, I think you're going to have the same guys up there. You know, it's hard to win a U.S. Open and then back that up with the British Open. I don't know that it's been done much, but I would think that, you know, Brooks would be up there and the same guys, Dustin Johnson. I mean, Zach Johnson's playing well. I wouldn't be surprised. Matt Kuchar, I like his chances over there. So there's a lot of guys that'll be up there, you know, and Tiger loves playing over there, so you can't count him out. So it'd be interesting to see how the next, you know, few weeks go, because a lot of guys kind of dial it down before the British Open and they go over there. So you won't see a lot of these guys play in a lot of tournaments between now and the British, but that's, you know, it's just the nature of the schedule.
And they said the Open Championship. Let's be correct. And
you don't want to call it the British Open because they get all upset.
Yeah,
that's what I call it.
yeah, the British Open, exactly. John, before you go, let folks know how they can follow you and your latest article.
Well, journalnow.com, we need all the clicks we can get, you know. So journalnow.com is where all my stories are. And then in my Twitter handle, I don't even know what it is, but it's on Twitter. Just do a search and you'll find me. But, it's going good. I'm going to be on vacation here for the next few days, but I'll jump back into some Winston-Salem State stuff and some other more golf stuff here later this summer.
All right, John, we appreciate you. We'll get you on down the road. Thank you so much, sir.
All right, L.A., have a good week.
You too. It's the Pat. Stay tuned.
Thanks. I just want to be a good man, good man. Tell me, girl, that's all I want to be. Hey, that's all I want to be, baby. That's all I want to be, baby. So I just want to be a good man, good man. Tell me, girl, that's all I want to be, baby. Just wanna pick your phone up every single time you call. It don't matter where I'm at. I wanna be chillin' with old mama, talking business. See you calling, tell her, hold up, we gotta take this. Let the world wait. Wanna wear it like a medal. Tell them that I'm a spoken for fellow. The lady say hello like I'm who they wanna be. I do everything with my left, I know you see. Trifling, listen, baby, I ain't nowhere near perfect. But I promise to make it all worth it. Giving you the thing to be the man you deserve. And making sure you're smiling, way more than you're hurting. Taking my time to hear you when you're talking. Reminding you how bad you are often. Keep your legs shaking, making love and making sure you understand. That it's in my plan. So I just wanna be a good man, good man. Jesus, girl, that's all I wanna be, baby. That's all I wanna be, baby. That's all I wanna be. I just wanna be a good man, good man. Jesus, girl, that's all I wanna be. That's all I wanna be, baby. That's all I wanna be. No gon' upset you. Never doing things that I ain't got no business doing. When you're around, when you're not around, I respect you. And I would never make a fool out your baby. No, I never make a fool out your baby. I'm making sure you can trust me beyond a shadow of a doubt. So when them bras run up on you with my name in their mouth, you tell them you can be gone with all that. Cause you know what we got is beyond all that. You know we got that real thing.
gonna be the object of some hating. Hey, but we gonna be alright, we gonna be alright. Making love after every fight. Girl, from the day I put that ring up on your hand, in front of friends and fam, I had a plan. And my plan is to be a good man, good man. Girl, that's all I wanna be. That's all I wanna be, baby. That's all I wanna be.
Afraid at all. On my neck, I feel your breath.
Welcome back to the pad. We thank you for joining us. Don't forget, if you can miss any part of our broadcast, you can go to our website, thebachelorpadnetwork.com, thebachelorpadnetwork.com. You can ask questions, comments, Pad Nation on Facebook, Pad Nation 2 at Twitter as well. 919-246-9639, the number to get in touch with us. Coach Darryl Jacobs will be joining us soon on the pad.
For your body type, the higher tempo matches your mind. No bumping one to settle. You show me something profound. Who wouldn't wanna hold you down? I'll never let you go. Judgmental. You build me up and never tear me down. Put you first and never in the background. Loving you is simple, so simple. You must shine these final sunny days. You summer to my
legendary group that's been around for more than three decades, performing their new hit single, This One for Me and You, New Edition.
You're like a melody that never goes away. You're the sweetest thing, an easy song to sing.
You're like a work of art, so priceless to me. A timeless beauty from the movie screen that never ever seems to fade.
So baby, put that glass down and turn the music up. It's like these words was written just for the two of us. Do you remember that day in September when we fell? Never thought we'd make it, but I knew it from the start. So let's celebrate, 'cause we got it good. A classic going down in history. Feels just like we won the lottery.
Oh,
so baby, put that glass
down
and turn the music up.
Oh, baby,
it's like this.
Required listening with Amazon Music.
Dad music again?
The greatest guitarist of all time.
Wait, who?
Alexa, add this song to a new playlist.
Sure, what's the new playlist name?
Jack's Intro to Classic Rock.
Adding Stepping Stone by Jimi Hendrix to Jack's Intro to Classic Rock playlist.
Amazon Music, the simplest way to listen to the music you and soon he will love. New customers start your 30-day free trial at AmazonMusic.com. Renews automatically. Cancel anytime.
Blog Talk Radio.
There's a new home decor store opening in Cary that'll make you smile and your home shine. HomeCentric, where you'll find inspired styles, most wanted brands, and unbeatable value. So, come to the HomeCentric Grand Opening Celebration in Crossroads Plaza, May 3rd through the 6th. Each day, the first 150 guests will get a scratch-off card for a chance to win a $250 shopping spree. Don't miss it. home-centric. Inspired living for less.
And welcome back to the Bachelor Pad. We thank you so very much for joining us. Once again, thanks to Pastor Moore, Senior Pastor of the Zion Temple United Church of Christ in Durham, North Carolina, coming on Empowering Moments with D.T. Juckins. I'm L.A. Bachelor. It's the Bachelor Pad. Hope you had a very good day wherever you are listening. 646-929-0130 is the number to get in touch with us. Press 1 to get on the line. If you have a question or comment, hit us up and follow us at Facebook, Pad Nation at Facebook, and Pad Nation 2, Pad Nation the number 2, at Twitter. I want to go to the phones. He is a personal safety expert and self-defense instructor. He is Pete Canavan. And Pete, first of all, welcome to the show for the first time, hopefully of many. Second, I hope I did pronounce your name correctly, your last name.
Yes, you did, Ellie. Thanks for having me on. Yep, Pete Canavan. Yep,
absolutely. Good, good. So I wanted to start with something that's sort of been in the news before we get to, security, IT, the hacking. But in the sense that there was hacking going on with the Russians. Now, say what you want about politics. We can leave that aside, whether they're for Trump, for Hillary, for whoever. It's known that the Russians hacked into our elections, put out a lot of fake news. We see Mark Zuckerberg under the microscope for not catching stuff they put on Facebook and some other outlets, even some of the machines they say in some cities around the country that they hacked into. How, from your experience, how tough or even easy was it for them to do what they did and when they interfered in our elections?
Well, it's a pretty complex question. I mean, the short answer is it's easy to do because simply creating bogus profiles and then friending a bunch of people that have views that you're targeting based on, you know, their posts in their timeline, and, you know, you putting in your profile what your views are, you know, people see that and they say, oh, here's somebody who thinks like I do. And so now you start to build a group of people that are all of a similar mindset. And so now you can start to, you know, sort of insidiously put out there, you know, incorrect information, or you can try to sway how they think one way or the other. So, for example, if you were trying to change the minds of someone who was, say, pro-Trump and get them to, you know, lean the other way, you'd go after a bunch of people that were pro-Trump. And then once you friended, I don't know, 1,000 people or whatever, you hit your number, and then you start posting things out there that are, you know, detrimental to that person. And so maybe some of those people are going to start to maybe – think twice about their support of, you know, one candidate over another.
Hmm. Is there a way to determine that, though? I mean, are we that gullible? Is that where we are, where it's so easy not to do research and not to make sure your line is secure and not do this? And it's so easy now in this time of technology that we're gullible enough to just kind of follow the lead?
I think a lot of people, maybe not that they're gullible, but they're lazy. They don't want
right.
or they don't have the time to do the research. And quite frankly, it's very difficult to find unbiased news. Most of the news major media outlets and even a lot of the minor media outlets are biased one way or the other. Either they're slanted left or they're slanted right. So really the only way you can even get close to finding some sort of unbiased news source is going straight to the news wires. And how many people are going to make the effort to do that?
Yeah, that's a great point. So we're talking with Pete Canavan, of course. He is a personal safety expert, and we're talking, we're getting into IT safety and hacking and protecting your devices. How can we determine the service and not how can we determine what is secure and not as it relates to like virus protection. So in other words, we want to make sure we don't have malware. We want to make sure that mm-hmm. we don't have any kind of virus or anything along those lines. So we go online or we go in a store even and we buy a disc or we hear about something and we download it. Sometimes it's free. How dangerous is that? How do we determine what's good and what's not?
Well, there are a couple of things you can do that would immediately increase your online security. Number one, never do any sort of secure transactions or log into any accounts through unsecure Wi-Fi networks. A lot of people, you know, they're in a coffee shop, they're in a business, or they're in a store and there's free Wi-Fi, they jump on, they forget they're not on a secure Wi-Fi network, they enter information they should. The second is you need to have very secure passwords. And by secure, I mean you don't got to make these crazy complex passwords. You need to make them longer because longer passwords are harder to crack than shorter ones. So if you have a simple password that's easy to remember, but it's, you know, 15 characters long, it's going to be a lot harder to crack than one that's really, you know, strange characters, for example, but it's only 8 characters long. So that's something that we can do. And then, you know, you never want to save your credit card information on any website. A lot of websites, you know, once you're, you know, completing a transaction, they'll say, hey, do you want to create an account and, you know, check off here to save your payment information and it'll make it easier for you to check out next time. Well, again, a lot of people, they're lazy. They figure, hey, you know what, next time I go shopping on this site, I don't got to whip my credit card out or go find it because I left my wallet in the car, whatever. They'll check off to save that. Well, the more places online that you have that, you know, payment information stored, the less secure you are because, I mean, quite frankly, there is no such thing as 100% secure. So I recommend people use PayPal because that way your payment information is stored in a central source that has your information, and then you're only using your PayPal account to make payments for transactions, at least, you know, for the vendors that take that as a form of payment, which most do at this point in time.
Talking with Pete Canavan, of course, personal safety expert. His website, you can see PeteCanavan.com. Time to prepare is before the need arises. You're talking about some threats. Let's get into some of the big businesses, if you will, the ones that guarantee practically that you're secure. And we look at now, I mentioned Facebook with Mark Zuckerberg, you know, under the microscope for allowing things to come through to fake news. How does it make it more difficult for you to do your job when you have a Facebook or some of these other big companies that allow information to get out, either someone hacked into it or just human error and not doing, you know, due diligence in terms of securing people's information?
It's a great question, LA. And basically, you know, as you mentioned a minute ago, you know, what can we do to protect ourselves? And that is, you know, not just to make sure that your antivirus software on your computer is up to date and that you run scans periodically, but make sure all the software on your computer is up to date, whether it's different application software that you're using, your operating system. And, you know, this holds true not just for your computer, but your tablet and your cell phone. So that, you know, and we can do everything we can and have the most secure systems as possible. But what's happening today is hackers and those who are, you know, trying to trick people are using what are called social engineering attacks. And what that basically means is they are, you know, sending a phishing email out to, you know, tens or hundreds of thousands of people that says, you know, hey, you've got a package that's being delivered tomorrow. You know, click here to track your package and make sure that it's on time or, you know, whatever. And they make it sound like you've got to do it right now. And if not, you know, you're going to not get your package or your account is going to be compromised or you're not going to whatever. And so people go, oh, man, what is this? I am expecting a package from, you know, UPS because I just ordered something on whatever XYZ website. And so now, even though they've got the best security in their system, they've got antivirus, they've got everything else, anti-malware programs, they click the link. And so now it's going to most likely an infected website or a site that is purporting to be one that is not. It could look like your local bank's website because the hackers have rebuilt the website to look exactly the same. They've got the same logos. They've got the same everything. So you go and you log in, and guess what? Now they've just captured the username and password. Now they can turn around and use that to, you know, do things such as identity theft or, you know, steal financial information or, you know, your finances through an investment account or your bank, et cetera. I mean, I'm running into this more and more with people who, you know, they've got good security, but they're being fooled and they're clicking links. So I tell people, if you don't recognize it, don't click it.
Isn't it kind of silly, though? Again, I don't want to say, I'm not saying naive or stupid, maybe lazy, but common sense. If, let's say, you know you didn't order anything from Amazon, but you get an email saying your package is there at Amazon or whatever. So why would you even think that you have a package if you didn't order anything in the first place? Isn't it some of those things that they
maybe,
can do?
Well, maybe you didn't, but maybe your wife did or your husband did or your kid did, and you don't know that because you're at work and you can't get a hold of them because your wife's a teacher and you can't call her at work. So you think, wow, maybe she's expecting a package I don't know about. So it's not that people are, you know, necessarily lazy or just not being careful. They are being tricked. And some of these, you know, these phishing emails are extremely sophisticated. They look very legitimate. And so even somebody like myself, sometimes I get these emails, and I get hundreds and hundreds of emails a day. And, of course, you know, 90% of them are junk. But you get these emails, and, man, I look at them sometimes, and I'm like, this is amazing. So, you know, if you hover your mouse over the link in the email and it says it comes from, you know, UPS.com, put your mouse over the link and it says, you know, it's going to some bogus company dot, you know, something dot UPS dot something dot com or whatever, you know, they are hoping that maybe you're not going to take a look at it. So I tell people, you know, type the link in manually, log into your account as you normally do. Don't click the links in emails, you know, copy and paste things. Do not, you know, really, you have to be so careful, because that's what is happening, is they're relying on human error and people being tricked for in a lot of times. I mean, heck, there's even reputable websites out there that are hacked that don't even know it.
Wow. That is a very scary thought, my friend. Let me, I'm going to go to the phones in just a bit, but let me ask you this. You know, again, scary thought. Identity theft is huge, as you know, in the industry. So, you know, why people do, you know, in anything online in terms of banking and different things? I know it might be convenient, but identity theft, I see these infomercials on it all the time, and it just makes you nervous, and you don't know who's who. It's almost like this term fake news now out there, whether it's Democrats or Republicans saying it. You don't know what to believe on the net anymore. And what can you use on your tablet and on your phone? Is there a special app or anything that you can get to, you know, stop any kind of virus? Because up until maybe 2 years ago, I didn't even think anything about my phone being hacked and getting a virus.
There are ways of getting into pretty much any electronic device. I mean, and now you've got this whole Internet of Things that is becoming more and more prevalent, where you're connecting all kinds of devices to the Internet. You're connecting your TV, you're connecting your refrigerator, you're connecting your washing machine, you're connecting all of these appliances now are all coming with built-in Wi-Fi capability. And so the sales pitch is, you know, hey, we're making your device smarter. It can alert us to the fact when something's going to break down, and, you know, it can save you costly repairs or, you know, whatever the sales pitch is. But it's also another connection on your network that can be hacked. So it's very scary when we look at the number of devices that we all have that connect to the Internet. You know, we've got computers, we've got laptops, we've got phones, we've got tablets, and every single one of them has its own unique operating system. Every single one of them needs to have software that's kept up to date. And due diligence is really the order of the day.
Hmm. And we're going to get into the hacking and how you can help people personally and get into your web info. We're talking with Pete Canavan, personal safety expert, on the pad. If you have a question, hit us up. 646 or ask your questions on Facebook at Pad Nation or Pad Nation 2 at Twitter. You can even email me at labachelor40 Reggie@gmail.com. With that, I go to the phones. Reggie, how in Richmond? What's up, Reg?
Gentlemen, can you hear me okay?
We can.
Yes.
First of all, thank you, sir, for giving that bag of information. Lifelock, whatever they call it, one of the major sites. Do you recommend them, or are they kind of taking people's money?
I have had Lifelock protection on my identity, my wife's identity, and all three kids' identities ever since they were born. If you think about it, it's a great service. It's a minimal cost. And who is more vulnerable than a child who has a clean identity? And if their identity is stolen, they're probably not going to know about it until they're 17 or 18 years old and they're trying to, you know, maybe get a loan for college or get a credit card. And all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, what are all these accounts here? And they could be in huge trouble. And so I firmly believe in services like that. And as someone who's used it for many years, case in point, my son the other day went to go buy his girlfriend something at the mall. He decided, you know, of course, they talk you into opening a credit card. So he went to do that. Well, while he was still there, LifeLock called me. Somebody's trying to use your son's, you know, identity. Is this valid or not? I said, hold on. I shot him a quick text. I said, are you trying to open an account at Best Buy? He's like, yeah, how did you know? I said, because LifeLock just called.
But he said,
it's a fantastic service. They're really on the top of things.
Okay, well,
yeah, he was a little freaked out. I'm like big brother, you know. But
hey,
I'm not a big father.
Hey, you saved his life. Thank you, sir. With any other services that you can recommend other than LifeLock? And that's my final question.
There are other ones out there. I mean, that's the one that I'm familiar with. That's the one that I use. And, you know, they've been on top of things anytime any one of us has tried to open an account.
Thank you, sir.
Pete, I wanted to ask about the hacking. So take us through, if you have the protection and the scenario is that, you opened up an email, you shouldn't have, and all of a sudden, you notice some things happen. You probably got a virus. Take us through how you can clean it, or is it giving it to an expert? Is it something that you could do via software? What would you suggest if you are being hacked, whether it's your laptop or phone or computer?
Well, a regular virus that comes into the computer typically can be cleaned with antivirus software that you have, provided it's up to date. However, that being said, there are viruses out there that are specifically designed to disable antivirus software. And so you try to run the antivirus software, and guess what? It won't run. And you're thinking, okay, what's going on here? And you may, you know, try reinstalling it. You may do different things, and you may even install a different one, and it still won't work. So in that case, I would say, you know, you really should take it to an expert, someone that can clean it, because probably what will have to happen is they'll have to boot your computer up off of an external drive, a flash drive, a CD or something, and run an antivirus software off of some sort of external media that can now go in and clean the virus, because the virus is not having a chance to load. Some of these viruses load before your operating system. If they do that, they're very difficult to get rid of, and they can be nasty.
Here's a question that someone asked. Why the hackers? Do they do it for just money or to be evil? What is the real, sort of the main reason, if you will, that they do these things?
I don't know percentages, but I would say probably half of them are doing it for the money and half are doing it for the recognition. Just to say, I could do that. I could hack into so-and-so company. I was able to steal this information. They couldn't keep me out. It boosts their ego. They've got big egos. They think, you know what? You're putting up all these firewalls. You're installing all this software. Try and keep me out. Watch me hack in anyway. So I think a lot of them maybe do it for that reason. And, of course, the others, especially the people that are sending out these ransomware attacks, they're obviously doing it for the money, where they encrypt all the data. Then, you know, a message pops up on your screen and says, ha, you've just been hacked with ransomware and you want to get all your data back. You got to pay us, you know, ask you to pay them in some untraceable digital currency, cryptocurrency, typically, you know, Bitcoins or something similar. Otherwise, you lose your data. And if you don't have a good backup, or a backup that is not attached to your computer, like an offsite online backup somewhere, you're either going to lose your data, or you're going to have to pay to get it back. And those are your only two options.
Wow.
I had a client whose external backup drive got encrypted too. We had a backup.
Jeez.
Luckily, they had an offsite backup in addition. I tell all my clients, redundancy is what you need to do. You need to have multiple copies of your backup, and one of them should definitely be with some offsite service so that, God forbid, something happens, you can at least have a copy of a clean data, because most of these companies will keep several versions of your backups going back, you know, a week, 2 weeks, a month, something like that. They all vary.
And the rumor or the a lot of times I hear people say, well, a lot of these hackers who send out these viruses and encrypt and steal data work for some of these companies who put together the anti-virus protection. Is there any truth to that, do you think, or you know?
I don't know, but that's not the first time I've heard that, and it wouldn't surprise me. I'll just leave it at that.
Wow. That's just and you just don't think about the money that could be made in doing this. Now, you've worked with, and we're going to talk about your book in a sec, but you've worked with law enforcement and businesses and different security and public safety and corrections, military. How catastrophic can it be if a police department gets hacked and they say, God forbid, send out wrong information about a terrorist attack or someone, a live shooter, or anything that could be detrimental to the public at hand? So now we're not talking about local in your house threats. Now we're talking about threats that could be, you know, foreign, domestic, military, law enforcement, police, anything. Do you deal with a lot of that, and how dangerous is that?
Keeping everything as secure as possible, I mean, is really all you can do. And, of course, human error can always, you know, play a factor in it. Look at where they had that fake, it was a false, rather, missile warning in Hawaii not that long ago. You know, that was not a hacker. That was just somebody who made a mistake. It can create mass panic. And when you have mass panic and people think something's happening, like, you know, an active shooter's happened at your college campus, or, you know, there's a nuclear missile on the way, or even just, you know, the fact that maybe there's some sort of natural disaster, you know, the river's going to flood, or, you know, there's a huge, you know, ice storm coming. I mean, you know, anything like that can cause mass panic. And I think in that respect, you know, people aren't trying to make money off it necessarily. They're just trying to seed discord among the population and get people to be nervous and untrusting of all of those organizations that you mentioned, you know, law enforcement and public safety and the military. And when, you know, if the public's confidence is eroded, that has huge effects on their ability to do their job. And we've seen some of that with law enforcement recently, and it stinks, because, you know, these guys are out there putting their lives on the line every day. And it doesn't matter what branch of service that you're in, you know, you're out there willing to do whatever it takes to keep people safe, yet there are people out there that are trying to discredit you, and that just, that makes me insane, and I'm sure it makes those people in those professions even crazier, because it, you know, it just, it undermines all the good that they try to do, and it only takes, you know, one or two things, and confidence can be shattered that quickly.
And it's really important too, it seems. You wrote this book, The Ultimate Guide to College Safety, and you talk about safety on campuses, and you talked about at one point people, you know, kids wanted to be worried about getting their grades, but now we see these shootings taking place in high schools and college campuses and movie theaters and everything else, and it has to be, I'm sure you go into it in your book, it has to be really important to have that data for schools to know about, say, the shooter at Parkland, to have that information that law enforcement has it and everybody's on the same page. But if it's hacked, if it's stolen, then that could be dangerous. You all also talk about things that people really don't think about. We think about hacking our devices and identity theft, but you talk about bullying, cyberbullying. Let's not forget about ATMs, the scams that the ATMs these people do, and you know, sexual assault, physical assault, terrorism you mentioned. Talk about the book, how you put it all together, and how people seem to kind of underestimate a lot of those things that I just mentioned that are in your book.
Well, the book, basically, I mean, I have a unique blend of skill sets because I've worked as an IT consultant for over 23 years now for myself, my business. And so I've seen a lot of things with regard to online safety and security. Obviously, things have evolved over the years. I've also been training in the martial arts and self-defense for over 20 years, and I teach and I train every week. So I've also worked as a public safety officer. I've also done event security. So I've got a blend of unique experiences that allowed me to have expertise in both the online arena in terms of keeping people safe as well as the offline side of things. And with my oldest son who started college this year, he just finished his first year, I wanted to take and utilize all of the information that I had and couple it with a lot of research and come up with a book that would really help college students because they're in the most formidable period of their lives. You know, they're forming ideas about politics and relationships and they're making friends and all of these things are happening to them, you know, for the first time. And so I wanted to bring to their attention all of the threats that are out there. I'm not trying to scare people. I'm just trying to make people aware that, look, these threats exist. And if you know, I start the book right off talking about defining your concerns and establishing your personal boundaries and why routines and comfort zones are so dangerous. Because, you know, if you go to work today, just like you went to work yesterday and you're going to go to work tomorrow, we expect things to be the same day after day. You walk your dog down the same road today as you did yesterday. Why would it be any different tomorrow? So I'm simply telling people, look, don't be complacent. Don't get into these comfort zones to the point where you are not paying attention to what's going on around you. Don't bury your head in your phone. Don't have your headphones so loud that you can't hear things. You know, simple things that when you arm yourself with awareness, which is kind of one of my trademark terms, you know, to be armed with awareness, because if you're armed with awareness, that's not something that could ever be taken away from you, like pepper spray or a flashlight or some sort of other defensive, you know, weapon, you know. So if we can simply, you know, sort of take our awareness and ratchet it up, it goes a long way towards staying, you know, towards being safe. And that goes for being, you know, your online safety as well as your offline safety, because as we know and as we've seen, a lot of times online safety concerns turn into offline safety threats.
I can attest that it wasn't a hacking situation, but, you know, and I don't always tell my personal business, but as it relates to this, getting into a routine and being complacent, I happen to I leave my house, you know, and working at a certain time in the morning, and long story short, someone was watching. I didn't know it then because I wasn't paying attention, and they stole my car.
Wow.
And it was routine of me doing the same thing at the same time every single day and not just being, you know, conscious of things. It's not about the neighborhood. It's about who wants to go ahead and try to, you know, do those evil things and try to steal. I got the car back, but the point is that it made me very much aware of checking everything in my surroundings and everything else. So I can attest to
that. We're all guilty of it. You know, we're all guilty of it. You know, we do the same thing every day. You know, we go to the same job. We go to the same supermarket. We go to the same, you know, barber or hairdresser. You know, we do the same things all the time. And so it's easy for us to just get caught up in the routine and not pay attention when we should be. You know, you may not be noticing that somebody's been following you the last two blocks when you're out walking your dog, you know, at night. These are the things that you need to, you know, keep your head on a swivel, you know, just be aware of what's around you. You know, you don't got to live in a state of paranoia, but you need to be aware. And if you can have something with you that gives you a little bit of an edge if something happens, like, you know, a defensive flashlight with a strobe function or pepper spray or, you know, anything that you're comfortable with, it can go a long way to keeping you safe.
Pete, let folks know how they can reach out to you and follow you and even take advantage of your services.
Well, my personal website where you can learn a little bit more about me is